back and forth. There is a clear rhythm to this, a kind of balanced exchange in which both partners are engaged in a back-and-forth manner. You start, you pause, your child cues, you continue, you pause, your child continues, and so on. Rationale. Sensory social routines teach your child that other people's bodies and faces talk, that they are important sources of communication, and that people can send and receive emotions face to face. In sensory social games, you will share smiles, make silly faces, add sound effects and expressions to all kinds of games, and draw your child's attention to your face. Creating fun routines will motivate your child to communicate that he wants to continue the activity, which will form the basis for expressing other meanings like, "Don't do that again," or, "I'm not sure about this." These routines can also help regulate your child's emotions, energy, and arousal levels so that your child is as alert and attentive as possible to you and ready to learn from you. Activity. Pick a sensory-rich activity and find the smile. First, pick an activity. A physical activity like tickling, bouncing, flying through the air, or swinging. Playing This Little Piggy, or using finger plays or songs. Playing face-to-face games like peekaboo or patty cake. Any games that capture your child's interest and attention and bring forth big smiles. Try to find an activity that doesn't incorporate a toy or other object. At the end of this step, there is a list of sensory social games that may give you some ideas. Here are some ideas for finding the smile. Do something inviting to get your child's attention focused on you. Approach your child at a time when she's not engaged in anything. Join her on the floor or couch if she is sitting. Or if she is walking around or standing somewhere, join her, greet her, and touch her. Maybe pick her up and give her a squeeze or two, spin her around, or do something else that will be fun. While you have your child's attention and the two of you are face to face and close, begin a brief game with your child. Repeat it two or three times quickly if it's short, like spinning, and then pause and wait, looking expectantly at your child and positioning your body to play the game again. If the game you picked is long, like a song or finger play, start with the first line and finger movements. Do that a little bit once or twice, then stop, look expectantly, and see if your child seems to want you to continue. Pause right before the big event. The big event is the most dramatic moment of the game. If you are playing chase, the big event is the moment you are positioned and ready for the chase. If you are playing tickle, it is the moment that the fingers are ready to descend. If you are playing peekaboo with a blanket, it is the moment before you pull the blanket off your head or your child's. Pause right before the big event and look expectantly at your child. Get your child's attention, then go. After the big event, be sure to pause, smile, and laugh to accentuate the fun of the big event. At the end of the big event, stop. Look at your child excitedly, place your hands and body as if you are about to do it again, and wait. Wait for some action or sound from your child that invites you to begin again. Any small indication, a wiggle, a brief look, a quiet sound will do. Wait for a signal from your child that tells you your child wants the game continued. Your child's expectant look or waiting is also a cue for you to continue. Once your child signals, finish the game and then pause again, waiting for another signal. Keep it going until either your energy or your child's attention starts to lag. Waiting for your child's cues brings your child into the game and balances the interactions. Now it is a two-person game, with two active participants rather than an actor and an observer. Once either you or your child is starting to lose interest, say, "All done with," airplane or whatever game you played. Give your child a hug and be finished. What should you say during the routines? Songs are easy. Just sing the songs with motions. If you don't know any motions, try making some up. For games like Swing, Tickle, and Chase, invent a simple narration that goes along like, "I'm gonna get you," for Chase. "Where's?" "Name." And then, "Boo," for Peekaboo. 1, 2, 3, "Swing," for a spin around. Use the same words day after day. These little chants will help your child learn the game and learn language. Often, children's first words are spoken in games like this. Nancy begins a sensory social routine with 2-year-old Devin, who is sprawled on a beanbag chair in front of her. She begins to sing "Itsy Bitsy Spider" and combines a gesture that fits each phrase. When Nancy sings, "The itsy bitsy spider crawled up the water spout," she creeps her fingers up along Devin's chest. She pauses, and he looks intently at her. For the next phrase, "Down came the rain and washed the spider out," she spreads her hands down his chest repeatedly, brushing against his chest with her fingers. She pauses, and he smiles expectantly with great eye contact. Then she raises her hands to her face and frames her face as she sings, "Out came the sun," and, moving her hands like water down through the air, dried off all the rain. Finally, she positions her hands to creep her fingers up his chest for the last phrase, "And the itsy bitsy spider." She waits in position, her paws, and he looks at her, smiles, and reaches for her hands, at which point she finishes, crawled up the spout again, fingers up his chest. This is a lovely sensory social routine that many parents instinctively use to engage their young children. And most children seem to love it. Devin smiles, gives great eye contact, and reaches toward his mother in those pauses, taking his turns on cue. And why wouldn't he? It's a kind of mutually enjoyable conversation, each partner taking a turn and pausing for the other. A balanced interaction. Both of them on the same topic. Each clearly enjoying the other and showing it with smiles, actions, eye contact, and happy voices and movements. The feelings are genuine and positive between them, and they are speaking the same emotional language. It's fun to play together. When you introduce a new sensory social routine, your child may look dubious. Present the activity in brief segments by starting and stopping the activity several times so that your child learns the routine and what to expect. Children do not always show immediate pleasure in a new routine. It may appear that they are not even interested in the game. It is all right to persist in the 3 quick repetitions of a new game, even if your child does not seem to like it very much, as a way to introduce the game. However, if your child is wary, be gentler on the next repetition, softer and slower, so your child can get to know what is coming and does not start to avoid the routine. Over several repetitions, the game may become more and more interesting. However, if your child is clearly uncomfortable, backing away, still, serious face, avoiding contact, or protesting, stop the routine and shift to a familiar, happy one. At first, I had a great deal of trouble trying to think of good activities to use as sensory social routines. I liked the idea of making the social interaction its own reward, but felt lost at actually developing one that worked. Just trying those I'd seen wasn't enough. My son didn't always seem interested in the game that I thought looked like so much fun. So I used ideas about following my child's lead, Chapter 4, to come up with ideas. We developed spinning games, bouncing games, tickle games, and all sorts of others just through expanding on any little activity that happened to seem fun. Going in and out of a crib seems like a mundane activity. But I happened to put my son down with a bounce once, and he loved it. A game was born. I'd bounce him on the way in and fly him through the air on the way out. While he learned more and more words to request what he wanted. At first, it seemed very intimidating to come up with these routines, but it became easy and natural after only a few tries. Helpful tip. Don't discount expectant looks and waiting from your child as signals that your child wants the game to be repeated. As long as your child's attention is on you, even subtle, nonverbal communication is communication. Helpful tip. Repetition is key here. The more familiar a game is, the more it becomes a routine. The more the child can participate as a full partner. As Devin did when he communicates that he knows what is coming after his mother's pauses, and the more the child learns. If there are no routines your child enjoys, you will need to start to build them up. Here are some ideas. Bath time. Use bubbles in the tub to place on your child's arm. Then rinse away by pouring water. Repeat. Dry your child with extra little tummy rubs. Pour water from a cup over your child's hands while in the tub. Changing or dressing. Try a little peekaboo with a diaper or pieces of clothing. Try a few toe tickles or this little piggy before putting on socks or after taking them off or while washing feet in the tub. Try massaging a little lotion on your child's hands and arms. Does that feel good to your child? Try squeezing your child gently in a beanbag chair, bouncing your child on your bed, or putting a pillow over your child's tummy as you play on your bed. Some sensory social games to consider. Games and songs without objects. Patty cake, with hands and also with feet. Peekaboo. The Noble Duke of York. Where is Thumbkin? This Little Piggy, Round and Round the Garden, Chase, I'm Gonna Get You, Swinging Through Your Legs, Airplane, So Big, Creepy Fingers, Itsy Bitsy Spider, Open, Shut Them, London Bridge, Twinkle Twinkle Little Star, Ring Around the Rosie, The Wheels on the Bus, If You're Happy and You Know It, Way Up in the Sky, Dancing to Music, Silly Faces and Noises, Pop Your Cheek with Your Finger, Make a Raspberry Noise with Your Lips, Kissy Face and Kissy Noises, Fish Face, Blow Raspberries on Your Child's Feet, Hands, or Belly, Hide Your Face in Peekaboo, Yodel, Whistle. Stick your tongue out and wiggle it. Pull on your ear. Honk, honk. Tongue machine. Pull on your ear and stick out your tongue, then push on your nose and pull in your tongue. Make sound effect for each. Summary of step 1. If you have followed along and carried out the prescribing activities, you will probably have an idea of what kinds of sensory social routines your child prefers, and you can build on those in the days ahead. Some children enjoy more physical or roughhouse games, being chased and caught, somersaulted in the air, swung around, or spun. Others may favor games involving touch, round and round the garden, creepy fingers, tickle, having their bellies soaped up in the bathtub, or having raspberries blown on their bellies, or foot games like This Little Piggy. Then there are the songs and finger plays your child likes to hear you sing and do, or silly faces and noises that your child enjoys watching you make. You have probably also experienced the rhythm of these activities, the back-and-forth nature of the starts, pauses, cues, and continuations that make the games reciprocal. Over time, build up your child's repertoire of sensory social routines from 5 to 10 to 20. See if you agree with most of the statements in the following checklist. If so, you have learned how to create sensory social games with your child and are ready for some additional techniques involving these games. If not, continue to try different routines. Your child might need more exposures to them to learn the pattern and what to expect. Activity list. Have I found the rhythm of sensory social routines? I know a number of sensory social routines that bring a smile and excitement to my child's face. I have figured out how to position myself face to face while doing these routines. When I start a favorite routine, my child often makes eye contact and smiles at me. When I pause for a few seconds before the big event in a favorite routine, my child waits for me to continue. When I pause, my child actively communicates his or her desire for me to continue by looking at me, vocalizing, reaching, or some other behavior. I have built up my child's interest in several new routines by practicing them with him or her several days in a row. Step 2. Build a repertoire and refine the routines. Once you've identified at least a few sensory social routines that your child enjoys and that allow you to find the smile, you're ready to add to this skill. Rationale. These are repetitive activities, and once your child has learned them, they can lose their excitement. Early signs that a child is losing interest during a sensory social routine include lessened responding in between your pauses, looking away during your turns, and changing her body language from active to passive or from passive to overactive. To make sure you don't completely lose the benefits of sensory social routines, be alert for the need to add to your repertoire. Promote your child's participation as a full partner. Vary the routine enough to keep it interesting. Pick the best times and settings, and add objects judiciously if that seems likely to help. Activity. Get creative in building and varying your sensory social repertoire. Here are some ideas. Keep your turn short, so your child has more opportunities to respond. Ideally, your child will have an opportunity to respond every 5 to 10 seconds. If you do too much, the interaction is not balanced. Your child isn't a full partner and will become bored, or at least won't communicate enough to get the full benefit of the activity. Caution. Avoid the situation in which you are making your child happy by simply entertaining your child, and your child is happily but passively observing and enjoying watching you do all of the work. Rather, you and your child should be in a balanced back-and-forth communication throughout, via movements, gestures, eye contact, sounds, words, or other actions. The goal is for your child to actively attend and communicate with you in some way, even if only through gaze, to initiate, respond to, or continue the sensory social routine. You will need to start, pause, and wait often to give your child a chance for her communicative turn. Be patient during your pauses and wait for a response from your child. As soon as your child has shown enjoyment, participation, and recognition of one familiar routine, go ahead and add another. Simple songs that involve simple hand movements are especially important to develop for many reasons. The repeated language, which makes it easy for the child to predict, the shared social meaning that the games have for both of you, and the gestures that eventually build your child's ability to imitate gestures. A good goal is to build up your child's repertoire to 10 to 20 different sensory social routines that he enjoys and can play with various people. Try to find a variety of times during the day to build in sensory social routines. Put them in all 6 activity types. Besides bath time and dressing, mentioned before, diaper changing is a great time for playing belly games, toe games, patty cake, peekaboo, and creepy fingers. Try to work a sensory social routine into regular diaper changes or potty times. Meal times can also provide a great setting for making silly faces and noises, with food and drinks as props, if you can make time to sit with your child at the table during a meal or snack. If it's feasible for you, try sitting with your child at the table, getting as close to a face-to-face orientation as you can by positioning your child's chair and your chair. Give you and your child the same food, and each of you have a drink. When your child takes a bite or a drink, imitate your child and add some sound effects. Drinking sounds, eating sounds. Good. Delicious. See if your child starts to enjoy your big displays. If you see signs of enjoyment, do it again. Ham it up. Offer your child a bite of your food. Try to get your child to feed you a bite. Make fun noises and other reactions when your child does. Some children think it is very funny when a parent picks up a child's bottle and pantomimes drinking from it, as long as the child gets it back quickly. Be sure to repeat all these routines several times so your child begins to see the pattern in them and knows what to expect. Exaggerating your reactions, your sounds, your silliness, this is often the attention draw that children with autism, and those without autism too, need to attend to you and the game, learn the patterns, and find the humor. Once it starts to feel repetitive to you, add some variation. Surprise your child by adding a new verse, new sound effects, new steps to the routine, or maybe some props, or another person. Variation will keep the game going longer, and that means more learning opportunities for your child. Alexis and her dad are playing Ring Around the Rosie on the floor. She initially likes the fall down part, and does a few rounds with Dad, falling down first, her communication, then laughing and looking when he falls down too, sharing the fun, then standing up again and reaching for his hands, her communication to begin again. However, after a few rounds, she stops falling down on her own and stops reaching. Dad thinks she is getting bored, so rather than stopping the game, he says, "Let's get your sister." 8-year-old Tessa rolls her eyes, but Dad takes Alexis to Tessa, who is on the couch reading, takes her hand and pulls her into the circle. He helps Alexis take Tessa's hand, and the three of them play a couple more rounds. This is very exciting to Alexis, who watches Tessa intently as they both fall down and takes Tessa's hand to restart. Tessa says, "Get Daddy," and motions to her father. Alexis looks at him and reaches her other hand for Dad, and the three of them repeat the game. This variation, adding another person, is enough to increase Alexis's interest and motivation for the game, and it results in a number of new learning opportunities. Dad could also add a big stuffed animal as a person in the game, or he could put a small object, like a stuffed animal or pillow, on the floor between them to circle around. These types of little variations can add interest for your child and also for you as you try to think of variations that will work. Know when it really is time to end the game. If your child's responses diminish and you cannot revive them through variations, it is time to be all done and to offer a different choice of activities. If you are bored, it's time to change. If your child's responses increase and get disorganized and overactive, it's time to calm things down. Slow down the game, lower your voice, or decrease the intensity. If that does not help your child calm down during the game, then end the game, say you are finished, and help your child transition into some quieter play with toys. Activity. Know when to use objects in sensory social routines. Sensory social routines often involve activities without any objects at all. In songs, finger plays, social games, and physical games, your ability to position yourself and your child for face-to-face interaction is crucial for capturing your child's attention to your face and to your directed communications. But you can also incorporate certain kinds of objects into sensory social routines. The object has to support the goals of a sensory social routine to draw your child's full attention to your face and body, so that there will be smiles and expressions of pleasure, and the child will communicate repeatedly for the routine to continue. If you carry out a sensory social routine with an object, the object has to be a special kind of object that will support your child's attention to you instead of pulling it away from you and toward the object. For this reason, one rule of using objects in sensory social routines is that only you can handle them. The child does not get to handle and operate them, because this pulls your child's attention away from you. Objects like bubbles, balloons, never let the child have control of the balloon. It's a choking hazard. Pinwheels, noisemakers, tops, flutes, and pom-poms can be woven into powerful sensory social routines. Other examples include wind-up toys, party blowers, slinkies, rocket launchers, spray bottles with water in them, lotion, and scarves. Helpful tip. Try to choose objects that your child does not know how to use alone. This way, you can keep hold of the object because your child needs your help to start and continue the game. Here are some ideas for using objects in sensory social routines. When you use an object in a sensory social routine, you will not take turns with your child in operating the object. You are the sole operator. You will begin the routine by doing something with the object to make a big effect. Watch your child. You want to see smiles, pleasure, and an approach to you or to the object. If your child freezes, looks worried, backs up, or moves away, stop and wait. Try to repeat the action, but very gently, and aim it away from your child's face and body the second time. Watch for your child's reaction. If you continue to see worry, freezing, or moving away, put the object away and do something else. If your child smiles, approaches, and looks interested or excited, operate the object again, and then pause. Wait for your child to communicate in some way that she wants you to do it again. When you get the communication, which might be a look, smile, gesture, approach, sounds, or words, say, "More? You want more bubbles?" or something like that, and then operate the object again. Keep this going several times if your child maintains interest. This is also turn-taking, communicative turn-taking. You do something, your child communicates, and you answer. Ideally, your child will come right up to you, touch the toy, look for the repetition, touch your face or hands, or otherwise be very excited. If your child doesn't, offer the toy and entice him to come closer. This is a close-in activity that should be a great source of fun and pleasure for both of you. It is also a powerful communication frame for your child, and in subsequent chapters, we will give you many ideas for helping your child learn more ways to communicate his desires in sensory social routines. What should you say? Just as before, develop a simple narration that goes along with the activity. A few words and sound effects are important to add. For a bubble routine, a typical narration might be something like this. Want more bubbles? Want me to blow? Blow! Then blow. Get the bubbles? Pop, pop! See the bubble? Get it? Pop! Spoken as your child does the various actions. Use a similar narration each time you play a specific game. Emphasize the names of things, the actions you are making, sound effects, and little chants like 1, 2, 3, or ready, set, go. Add sound effects, gestures, facial expressions, and anything else that makes the routine fun and playful for you and your child. Be dramatic. Ham it up. Use your child's reactions to tell you what creates energy, fun, and excitement for your child without becoming overstimulating, a point we will return to soon. Helpful tip. We can't stress enough how important it is for you to maintain control of the object. If the child requests it, treat the request as a request for you to activate the object, rather than hand it over. Don't get into a struggle over it. It's better to end a sensory social game by putting it away or with your child holding the object than to have a big upset over control. There is always another opportunity to repeat this in the next few hours or days. Games and songs with objects. Blowing bubbles, balloons, blow one, count 1, 2, 3, and let it go flying around the room. Again, though, be careful because children can choke on balloons. Pinwheels, blow to make them turn. Pom-poms, shake, put on your head, throw, and so on. Clothes to put on each other. Beads, glasses, hats, bracelets, or watches. Lotion. Put a small amount of lotion on your child's body, rubbing and massaging. Filmy scarves. Throw, hide under, prance around with. Blankets or mats. Roll your child up in one like a hot dog. Peekaboo with props. Squeeze and wiggle games with a beanbag chair. Bouncing your child by his hips on a little trampoline or the bed. Bouncing and rolling belly down on a big exercise ball. Swinging the child through your legs. Rocking the child on a rocking horse from the front to stay face to face. Rocking chair. Rock fast, rock slow. Spinning on a swing. Splash games with water in the bath. Bubbling with straws in the bath. Noisemakers. Party favor blowers, flutes, tambourines, and the like. Slinkies. Pushing your child on a swing from the front and catching her to stop and wait. Activity. Alternate between sensory social routines and object play. Because sensory social routines draw you and your child close together socially and emotionally, they are wonderful parts of all interactions. When you are playing with your child, see what it's like to alternate between object-focused play and sensory social routines. The object-focused play builds your child's skills in thinking, imitation, hand and body coordination, and complex play skills. The sensory social routines build social skills, communication skills, emotional connectedness, and imitation. Alternating between joint activity with objects and sensory social routines ensures greater enthusiasm, motivation, and energy for learning. More learning across developmental areas. Reciprocal turn-taking and responding inside typical routines and activities. More social attunement and engagement. Keep in mind, too, that when it is time for a sensory social game to end, you will probably be wise to move to an object play activity. This will give both of you a little break from the intensity of well-done sensory social routines. Some children will resist ending a sensory social routine. This is good, because it means that they really enjoyed it. However, if you feel it is time to end, you are exhausted or it feels too repetitive, and your child resists, you can help the transition go more smoothly by introducing an object or another enticing activity, like a snack, diverting your child's attention toward the new object or activity, and then leaving the sensory social routine. Sensory social routines draw children with autism back into the social world and the pleasure of social exchanges. They are a very important part of our social communicative approach to early intervention for ASD. And they are used in one form or another by many different treatment approaches. Summary of Step 2. If you have followed along and carried out the activities described before, you will have built up not only several different types of sensory social games, but also your skill in observing and assessing how and when to use a sensory social routine. You will also know when you need to vary a routine, end it, or transition to an object-focused routine. See if you agree with most of the statements in the following checklist. If so, you're ready to go to the next step. If not, Reread this section, try some different routines, and consult with someone who knows your child well if you are having problems trying to come up with some new ideas. Activity checklist. Have I built up a bigger repertoire and refined the routines? My child and I have built up a repertoire of 10 or so fun sensory social routines, including songs and finger plays. I have worked out one or more sensory social routines for most caregiving and play activities of our day. My child is active in the games, not just a passive observer or recipient. He or she cues me one way or another to continue during pauses in many of our games. I have learned how to vary routines or elaborate them by adding steps to keep the routines from getting too repetitive. I can narrate and produce simple scripts for these games fairly easily. I have learned the signs that my child is losing interest and it's time to end the game before my child leaves, fusses, or shuts down. I have learned to carry out some sensory social routines with objects. I have experimented with going back and forth between toy object play and sensory social routines with my child. Step 3. Optimize your child's energy level for learning. The last step in this chapter involves helping your child find her best energy or arousal level for learning from you in these fun activities. Rationale. Children who are over-aroused or under-aroused are not in an ideal state for learning. Optimal learning occurs when a child is alert, attentive, and engaged, not when he is passive, spaced out, or tired, or when he is overexcited, agitated, or overly aroused and out of control. It's important to be able to judge when your child is getting too aroused or is not aroused enough, and to take steps within your sensory social routines to optimize your child's arousal level for learning. Helpful tip. Next time you play a game, watch your child carefully for signs of overexcitement, and try to play the game more calmly before your child goes over the top. You want a child who is attentive and engaged, but not over-aroused, which limits your child's ability to learn from the experience. Activity. Learn how to dial down the activity when your child is getting highly aroused. You probably have experienced your child or other children getting revved up when their parents play with them in a very vigorous way. It's fun to see children become excited and energized by play. But at a certain point, they get so wound up that they aren't listening, aren't responding to others, and instead are over the top. They are over-aroused. They have temporarily lost their ability to control themselves and their own behavior. They may start running around, yelling or screaming, and perhaps getting destructive or aggressive. This is a point when parent-child play or play between brothers and sisters can quickly evolve into a conflict situation, with children being corrected and parents being upset. Here are some ideas for heading off over-arousal. Make the play gentler the minute you see your child getting overly aroused. You don't need to stop. Just get softer, slower, quieter, and less stimulating. You should see your child become less excited quickly. You can use sensory social routines to help your child adjust her arousal or excitement levels in many situations. Children who are upset and over-aroused for other reasons often calm down in response to gentle sensory social routines. Children who are very upset because they are angry, frightened, or frustrated may be helped by gentle sensory routines involving rocking, hugging, or squeezing, or having gentle pressure on their heads and backs. These may be accompanied by your soft and soothing voice, singing a calming song, or saying a little chant like, you're okay, you'll feel better, you're okay. Activity. Find ways to energize an under-aroused child. Children who seem sluggish, bored, uninterested in things, unresponsive or under-responsive to your initiations or to events going on around them can't learn any better than children who are over-aroused. They tend to sit or lie around rather than move around as actively as most young children, who seldom sit still for very long. Their facial expressions look neutral. It's hard to tell what emotion they are feeling, either in face or in body. They may seem tired. They may do one thing for long periods of time without changing position, watching their hands, staring out the window. Here are some ideas to perk up or activate an under-aroused child by using lively sensory social routines. Move the child quickly by bouncing, jiggling, spinning, or using fast-paced actions and songs. Use stronger touches, more volume, a bigger voice, more emotion. Use physical actions involving rapid or rather jerky movements, fast bounces on your lap or on a ball, lively jumps on a mini trampoline. Use sensory social objects that create big sounds or visual events. Use touch to rev up an under-aroused child. Rubbing or squeezing limbs. Using lotion. Giving foot massages on bare feet. Rolling up in a mat. Squeezing in a beanbag chair. Blowing bubbles on hands, feet, or belly. Be careful with tickles. They are very arousing, but can also quickly become noxious. If the child comes back for more or pulls your hands for more, continue once more, but if not, end. Summary of Step 3. We have been discussing concepts related to your child's level of arousal or excitement during sensory social routines. You may have observed your child getting too excited at times and either crying, getting really overactive, or becoming disorganized in some routines. You have likely tried to experiment with those overexciting routines by slowing them down, calming them down, or ending them sooner to prevent the overexcitement. Or your child may be a low-key child with a mellow, laid-back disposition who doesn't get excited about much or show many emotional changes. We hope that you observed your low-key child get more excited in sensory social games, more smiles, more animation, more social behavior, more attention to you, more liveliness, more emotion. See if you agree with most of the statements in the following checklist. If so, you are ready to move on to the next chapter. If you have not thought much about these concepts with your child yet, spend a little more time observing, playing, and thinking about this. When you see either one of these states, over-aroused or under-aroused, try to use a sensory social routine that you have developed to help optimize your child's state, to slow down and reorganize an overly aroused child, or to rev up and energize an under-aroused child. Doing both of these as needed will optimize the child's ability to attend and learn from you. Activity Checklist. Have I optimized my child's energy and arousal for learning? I have become much more aware of my child's arousal levels across different activities. I can see when my child is over-aroused, under-aroused, or in an optimal state for learning and interaction. I have learned how to use some of our sensory social routines to help my child become calmer and better organized when he or she is over-aroused. I have learned how to manage our routines to keep my child from becoming over-aroused and disorganized during our social play. I have learned how to use some of our sensory social routines to help my low-key child become more energized and motivated to participate. I know what it means for my child to be in an optimal state for participating, and I know how to use sensory social routines to help create and sustain that state in my child for several minutes or longer. Chapter Summary. Sensory social routines help you help your child in several ways. Increasing the FQ, or fun quotient, of your child's interactions with you. Getting your child engaged for longer periods of time in social exchanges. Increasing your child's communications for activities. And optimizing your child's energy levels, arousal levels, for learning and engaging. As these routines become familiar to both of you, putting in pauses so your child can communicate somehow that you should continue allows the two of you to take turns and be active partners in the games. It also fosters your child's intentional communications with you. It sends your child the message that communicating is powerful. It controls other people's actions. It gets your child what he or she wants. Sensory social routines provide you with a wonderful tool for helping your child find this optimal emotional state for learning, energized, engaged, and in tune with you. You can use these routines anytime you see your child in an over-aroused or under-aroused state. When alternated with object play, they help your child stay connected with you. They are not only fun for you and fun for your child, but powerful tools for supporting communication, for sharing emotions, and for fostering social growth. Refrigerator list. Goal: to use sensory social routines to increase your child's smiles and laughter during face-to-face games and songs. Steps: find the smile. Stay in the spotlight face-to-face with your child. Create fun routines from songs, physical games, roughhousing, and touch. Accompany them with lively faces, voices, and sounds. Narrate as you go. Use stimulating objects to create sensory social routines. Vary the routines when they get repetitive. Pause often and wait for your child to cue you to continue. Use sensory social routines to optimize your child's arousal level for learning. 6. It takes two to tango. Building back and forth interactions. Chapter goal: to help you build joint interaction routines and back-and-forth interactions with your child into your daily play and caregiving activities, so your child is more engaged and is communicating more with you. Why back-and-forth interactions, turn-taking, are so important. One of any child's biggest accomplishments in interacting with others is to learn to take turns. The ability to cooperate in give-and-take exchanges is fundamental to social development and to communication. Think about board games, conversations, the grocery store checkout, religious services, meetings, dancing, children playing pretend. All these social interactions are built on taking turns. Take a moment to notice your social interactions with other people and look for all of the turn-taking that occurs during those exchanges. We are not talking about structured interactions in which one person says, "It's my turn," and the other waits. We are talking about the natural turn-taking that occurs in adult conversations, in parent-child social games, and in playful interactions between young children. For instance, where one child picks up a bucket in the sand and puts sand in, and the other watches and then comes over to put sand in the bucket too. Watch two people interacting, and you will see this natural turn-taking everywhere. Even the youngest children have a sense of taking turns, which parents often experience while playing with their baby. A parent may make a silly face, and the baby may then look at the parent's eyes with a delighted smile and laugh. That is the baby's turn, and the parents are likely to respond by taking another turn and repeating the silly face. This kind of turn-taking pattern also occurs in vocal play. The baby makes some sound just for the fun of it, and the parent takes a turn and imitates the sound. Then the baby takes another turn, imitating the sound again, or watching and smiling, and the parent responds again in turn. When babies become toddlers, they continue using this turn-taking structure in imitation and interaction games with adults and with other children. In a very familiar kind of play, a two-year-old watches another child do something and then imitates it, at which point the other child does it again, and so on. In these interactions, what may look like nothing but light-hearted play is actually serious learning. Each person in the interaction fits his response to the other person's response, and the two partners build their interaction back and forth. Maybe a little boy opens his mouth wide and throws his arms in the air when a block tower topples. His playmate then knocks over a block tower and makes the same gestures. The first child watches this imitation with delight and then builds on it by adding jumping to his feet the next time the block tower falls. Young children use this behavior to learn an enormous amount from other people. They watch a person who is important or interesting to them. They observe the other person's words and actions, and they hold them in their minds to make sense of them and remember them. They may imitate it right then and there, or later, to practice and learn what the other person was doing. This kind of social learning is one way that little children learn so much without anyone teaching them directly. Turn-taking also establishes a kind of balance to the interactions. No one is the boss, and no one is the follower. Instead, the two partners take turns directing and following. One leads, and the other follows. Then the follower may lead something new, and the previous leader now becomes the follower into the new routine. We refer to this as sharing control of the play. When partners share control, the activity is balanced. Both partners lead, and both partners follow. This requires each to communicate to the other back and forth. Neither controls the other or the activity. They share control and trade the lead back and forth. Your child takes control when she makes a choice of objects, acts on a toy, refuses a toy, fusses or reaches, speaks or communicates with her eyes, body, and facial expressions. You take control when you offer a choice, demonstrate a toy, hand something to your child, or ask a question. Sharing control in turn-taking creates an activity that both partners build together, a shared activity. The balance between partners increases the learning opportunities available for the child. It fosters the child's initiative and spontaneity by giving the child some control. It fosters the child's attention to the partner when the partner has the lead by focusing that spotlight of attention on the partner, the leader.